His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is most definitely Sean Kwali. I am happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hails and the smells of North America. Take a deep breath and take a deep smell. Can you smell the hills of North America? As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor and a serious moment in history to be able to talk to you, sisters, brothers, and others, from this platform, this radio show, this bold radio show that has been on now for some years and going strong and getting stronger by the day and by the minute, talking about Black Power Radio. When they thought Black Power was dead, when no good J. Edgar Hoover thought that he had developed a protocol to crush Black power and crush the rise of a black messiah, black power still lives in 2012, and it still lives going into 2013. And if you are a man who keeps up with the news like I keep up with the news, you understand clearly that it is time now for the rise of the black man and the black woman, the original people of the planet, right here in North America and all throughout the world. It's no time to play today. This is no play hour. This is an hour to take very seriously and to get serious and to get well organized. Let me first, as I always do, and as I always start the show, I have to do it in the right divine manner, and I have to always invoke the blessings of the Creator upon our show and our shows, and invoke the blessings of the Creator upon us. And so I open up this show giving thanks to the Almighty, Wise, True, and Living God, the God of our, the original God of our forefathers and foremothers, that answers to many names. And as it is written and prophesied, we bear witness that that God said that he would seek and to save that which was lost. And we can find no other people fitting the description of that lost brother, that lost sister, or that lost sheep better than we. the 40, the 30, the 40, 50 million, whatever the total is, 30 to 40, to 50 million black men and women here in the hells and smells of North America. And we give righteous balance, what we call meiotic balance, because we understand that you can't have a God, a male, masculine expression of God, without having that goddess. And so we give thanks to the masculine and the feminine expression of God Almighty, all of the attributes manifested in us. We're thankful for our lives and our person, thankful for all of our ancestors, all of our freedom fighters, those who took lives and gave lives and made the ultimate sacrifice. But first, those who built up civilizations and those who established rule and those who established governments and those who established the sciences and the arts and those who guided the world, right there from our motherland and the mother continent and the center of it all, right there in Africa. We give thanks to them and give thanks that once we were invaded as a people, and our power stripped from us, and our names taken from us, and our languages taken from us, our original language, and our original cultures, and our original folkways and forays and norms, and we were robbed of the very power of our own being, that once that happened, that God Almighty raised up some black men and women to restore us to ourselves. And so we give thanks to all the messengers of God and all of the apostles and all of those who came with divine revelation, whether you're talking about the oldest text, the handwriting on the wall of the pyramids and the Medu Natur, what they call hieroglyphics on the wall, or if you're talking about the original Old Testament or the Torah, you're talking about the original Injil or the New Testament, what you know of as the Bible, or if you're talking about that revelation coming up, of course, right there in Arabia, in connection with all of that happened in Africa, talking about the Holy Quran, or whatever you're talking about that comes from God, we give thanks for that revelation. And of course, we have to be thankful for those who carried that torch and carried that mission, and those who took an active stance against wrong and oppression. And so we give thanks for people like Queen Mother Moore and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman. And when I say this, we normally would say Ashe, so you can say Ashe where you're at. And we give thanks for a Queen of Shetsud and Ya Asantewaa, who led from the front of the battle. We give thanks for the Deacons for Defense. We give thanks for that great Reverend Nat Turner. We give thanks for Toussaint Louverture. We give thanks for Buchmann. We give thanks for Dessalines. We give thanks for Paul Robeson. We give thanks for everybody. I don't want to just name them all, but we give thanks for all of our people who have fought. And, of course, giving thanks for those who came and organized, like the UNIA under the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and giving thanks for the Morris Science Temple of America under Noble Drew Ali, giving thanks for the Nation of Islam under the most honored Elijah Muhammad. And we give thanks for Minister Malcolm X and the OAAU. Also giving thanks for the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, even though it didn't get off the ground like it's supposed to because he was cut down. But we give thanks. Giving thanks to those who said that they were the ideological sons and daughters of that bold black man, talking about the Black Panther Party. Minister Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, and also talking about Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, Bob Brown, Mukasa Ricks, and Lowndes County, the freedom organization known as the Black Panther Party. We're giving thanks tonight on Black Power Radio, and I have to be thankful for that organization that I'm a part of and that I would hope that you would join and be a part of, talking about that bold, beautiful organization that started in 1989 when our brother Huey P. Newton was cut down and some young brothers and some sisters said it was time to restart and rebuild because crack had destroyed us and cocaine had destroyed us and our cities and towns were ravaged, and they started the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And we give thanks for a black man that came on the scene and said his mission and purpose was to give the devil hell, those who oppressed our people hell, those who incarcerated unjustly our people hell, those who mentally enslaved us and robbed us of everything hell, from the cradle to the grave. I'm talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Black Power. And we're giving some thanks for a beautiful, bold black man who is representing on scene today and carrying the torch and carrying on the legacy of freedom fighting and struggling and keeping the mission going. When others punked out and backed out and said that they would no longer continue, that since the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad had been taken from us and we lost him in 2001, this black man, along with Minister Hashim and Zinga, our National Chief of Staff, and a few others, picked up that torch, and now he stands as our national chairman, the longest standing chairman of the Panther Regiment, the attorney at war, the man I'm proud to represent to you here on Black Power Radio and throughout the world. Talking about the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And those are openings. Brothers and sisters, there is so much going on in the world. But we're going to hear tonight, and we're going to ask him his thoughts on this. We're going to hear tonight from a black man who has traveled this world. He is an international traveler. This brother, that just says something in itself. Some people have never left their block. Some brothers and sisters have never left their block. They have never gotten out. They have never seen much. And I'm not talking bad about you. But this black man is an international traveler. He's an international attorney, a businessman. This brother is a renowned intellectual, renowned as an intellectual. This brother is an activist. He's an author. He's a teacher. He co-founded a law firm called Al-Waleed, Al-Talal, and Al-Mansur. And he served as the director of the Saudi African Bank and United Bank of Africa, among some others. The brother got all kinds of business and business ventures and has wrote several books. I mean, the brother is moving, a true inspiration to us all. We're going to hear tonight from our brother, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansur. And so, buckle your safety belts. Before I bring him on, buckle your safety belts. And if you are timid, I say get you some courage. Get you some courage and get you some heart and find it real quick, because this is not going to be no punk show. This is not going to be no coward show. This is a show for the soldiers. We are in a wartime. And our brother Dr. Khalid is going to come and give you some instructions, give us some history, give us some guidance, and help us to get through these troubled times, and help us to understand how we can make the right kind of moves to get to the other side. So let me see if brother's on, because I want to hear from him, and I want to talk to our brother. This is an exclusive, Black Power exclusive, Dr. Khalid Al-Mansur. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, the number to call to ask our brother questions tonight will be 646-478-4447. You'll be able to listen toll-free tonight at 646-478-4447 and press 1. Let me see if this is our brother here with our error code 814-392. 814-392, you're on live now with Black Power Radio. Hoping this is our brother for the Dr. Khalid. Black Power.
Hello, this is Joshua Davis. I just want to say I really find what you're speaking about very interesting. It's real deep, and I really admire hearing that him speaking about Malcolm X, about the organization of Afro-American Unity. That's a real deep organization. Now, I wish Malcolm could have really got going on, but, you know, they took him down in 65. But I just acknowledge him for mentioning about Malcolm X, because that's like a powerful leader to me. And his teaching is very inspiring, and for him to just mention that, it just got my attention, and I'm just very honored to be listening to somebody like him.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that. You say your name is Brother Justin?
Joshua Davis.
My honor, brother. Yes, sir. We appreciate what you're saying, your statement, and there is no way that we would come on this radio broadcast, or no way that we would represent without mentioning the name of that beautiful, bold black man, Minister Malcolm X, who has touched many of our lives, brother.
I didn't want to, it's so many great leaders. I just wanted to mention people probably don't get to, know about. But Malcolm X, one thing, I mean, he was definitely my favorite. But I think you also mentioned him, Stokely Carmichael, H. Rap Brown, Huey P. Newton, of course, being a founder with him and Bobby Shill. Bobby Hunt and Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton also was one of the, a great revolutionary, because what he was saying was kind of like Malcolm X. He was just self-conscious and being aware. I just hope I'm not taking too much time.
We got to pull in Brother Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, but we definitely want to keep you on. I want you to stay on the line with us, and we'll be able to entertain those questions, and hopefully you can ask them same questions to Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, because he himself, he mentored Dr. Huey P. Newton and Brother Comrade Bobby Seale. And so you'll be able to ask them questions here tonight, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for your comment, caller. And that's Brother Joshua calling in and giving his gratitude, and we most certainly are thankful for Minister Malcolm X and all those greats. Let me try this number here at area code 210-826. This is our brother, Brother Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. Black Power.
I'm here, sir.
All right, sir. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Definitely an honor and a privilege to have you on. I haven't had the opportunity to have you on, so it's definitely a blessing. I think we got a chance to hear from you at our Black Power Convention a few years back, but definitely glad to have you on with us tonight. How are you feeling, Dr. Khalid?
Well, I just came back from California, and there were some very interesting strategies taking place. If one were to compare history, and they can recall that England learned about land and natural resources in a place today we call America. And he tried to get some of the aristocrats to take a chance. Everything is not going to be given to you free. Take a chance, be an explorer, be an adventurer, and then bring the reports back so we would know what to do. Because they may have ice age in Europe. Everyone may be destroyed. We need you to go and explore as far in the world as you can and let us know. Today, something is happening that is similar to the discovery of America. Number one, no theft is involved. Number two, it's by invitation to all, but a preference from people of African descent. You probably read it in the news. It's been all over. People don't know what to think. They don't know what to say. Some are mad. Some are sad. But the news is supported with the highest scientific authority. And what is
right.
that discovery? That Chinese, there's 300 million Chinese just in China. They have looked at the DNA profile. They have compared it with groups all over the world, the Jews, Norwegians, Europeans, South Americans, and the most distinguished genealogists in the world have reached a conclusion. Now, don't expect to find this conclusion in the front page of New York Times. Don't expect to find it in the front page of the Washington Post. Let me tell you what it said. Beyond a reasonable doubt to a moral certainty supported by science, the Chinese are descendants of black Africans. They took the DNA. They have the DNA marker. They compared the DNA. They determined the length of time it would take to have a mutation from a black to any other group in the world. The Chinese now are saying the same thing. I mean, they may have ulterior motives. They may want all that land in Africa. You have to understand,
right.
We're not talking Tarzan. Africa is as large as India, China, Western Europe and United States, they can all together fit inside of Africa. We're talking about an incredible landmass. And let's learn about Africa from history, from genealogy, from metaphysics. We learned about Africa how? From the Tarzan movies.
That's right.
And they have Tarzan half naked, but you don't, you're hollering and screaming for Tarzan, even though he's half naked and can't hardly talk, but he's white. And they permit Tarzan to be the hero, and the blacks just get scared, open their eyes as wide as they can, but they don't talk about Timbuktu. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you know this. I have to tell you, the first university in the world, this is when people started exchanging ideas and they start thinking about survival. They start thinking about how they're going to prosper. They start thinking about their children and their grandchildren. They start thinking about how the world turns. They decided that what they wanted to do more than anything else is to lay claim to their land, the land that was designed by the creator of the universe. That land today is known as Africa. Africa, as I said, is larger than India, China, Western Europe, and United States. Put them all together, they fit inside of Africa. The good news, I have to tell you, I have been to Africa, I go frequently, and I want you to know that the brothers and the sisters in the United States are slowly but surely getting over brainwashing, getting over fear, and they are spreading out throughout Africa. At one time, there were few people would come, maybe to Ghana, few people Nigeria, but black Americans started to wake up. Some of the names that you have already recited on this program, they paid great contribution. Marcus Garvey and a whole host of people started an awareness, but now it's getting more than an awareness. It's an explosion. You find Timbuktu, the first university in the entire world. Take China, take England, take France, take Italy, take Brazil, take any place you want to go. The first university in the entire world is called Timbuktu. It still exists today. Those who tell you that Africans were backward, retarded, they didn't know how to think, they didn't know how to plan, they were like animals, just don't have to argue with you. I mean, you don't have to get angry. Just say, I would like to refer you to Timbuktu. They said, what is that? They said, Timbuktu was the first university in the entire world. The first. They said, well, you don't know anything about Timbuktu. I said, I assure you, I don't know as much as I should know, but I know it was the first in the world. And the encyclopedia knows it was the first in the world. And the dictionary knows it was the first in the world. And now you're getting people of African descent who are beginning to probe. The Chinese said, we want to know, because the Chinese are over in Africa, why blacks are in America dreaming and hoping and wishing and praying. Chinese are in Africa all around. Chinese say, we ain't leaving. But what is the black saying? The blacks say, well, we feel the same way. We're not leaving, but what they mean is they're not leaving America. They're not leaving England, France, Italy. They're not going to leave Mexico. Hispanics in 40 to 50 years will be 50% of the total population of America. Black people,
that's
where
right.
Do you think you will be when those statistics unfold? If in 40 or 50 years, the black American all together, let's assume we somehow got united. We transcended pettiness. We transcended classism. We transcended being retarded. Let's assume all of those things happen. 40 or 50 years, the total population of blacks in the United States will be 10%. Now, if you are having a problem when you're 20 and 25%, of the total population of America, what in the world do you think will happen if all black Americans put together total 10%? Fortunately, now more and more African Americans are visiting and they're seeing for themselves how many years we've been brainwashed. We were taught if you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, maybe if you act right and smile enough, you can stick around. But if you're black, stay back.
Teach.
So what did the leaders say? Did they get underground? Did they try to use bleaching creams to save lives? I'm not black, I'm not black. No. James Brown said it. Say it loud.
Go ahead.
I'm black and I'm proud. He
Teach.
Didn't ask permission of the White House. He didn't ask permission of the Supreme Court. He went down in Soulville to the brothers and sisters listening to this program. And he said to them, you know, some people will cut you if you use the word black. James said, I want to use it. Is it all right? James said, say it loud. I am black.
Say it loud.
And I'm proud. Now this is taking over Africa. Pride. People are happy to see African American. People are happy to acquaint the African American with their history. We, based upon all genealogical evidence to date, were the first humans on the continent. Chinese now have admitted we descended from black Africa. That's what the Chinese are saying. And that middle class blacks are saying, we don't know nothing about Africa. We don't have anything in common with Africa. We don't look like no nappy head, thick lip, thick nose Africans. All we know is that we are finally in the threshold in the bosom of America, and America is so great that they stole the land from the Indians. So you are celebrating theft.
That's right.
You deny the heritage of the first humans. We weren't there, you know, 20 at a time. We were the first. Why
Teach.
Should we not feel pride? Someone
right.
named God decided, I can make the first ones Chinese. I can make them Japanese. I can make the first ones Native American Indian. I can make the first ones middle class Negro and give them some bleaching cream. They said, no, 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 no. The first human. Echo the song of James Brown. Say it loud. Don't be mumbling. Say it loud. I am black and I am proud. Can I get a witness?
Ashe, amen, I mean. Absolutely. Brother Dr. Khaled Sir, we want to ask you, first of all, how did you get started in the movement? I know that you have a lengthy history, but there may be some listeners that may be unfamiliar with them, so we want to try to get a little background. How did you begin? How was your start in the movement, the Black Power movement, the Black Panthers, and what you're doing? How did you begin, sir?
First introduction was a gentleman by the name of Johnson came to Oliver High School, which was about 85% white, and he informed the counselor at Oliver High School, Mr. Schnabel, that finally they would like to get some people of African descent to go to Howard. Howard was trying to get as many white people as they could, because they said if white people come, we can get more money. We can charge more money, and white foundations will give more money. This man, Mr. Jefferson from Howard, said that Howard is starting to wake up, and we think it's fit, and it's proper, and it's timely. Let's get some African-Americans here. And they said this Oliver High School don't have that many African-Americans. We'd like to try to invite them to visit. I decided to go to Howard because they were paying my bus fare and didn't pay the airplane. But they let me go on a bus and they bought the ticket round trip. And I hadn't seen so many blacks in my life. My roommate was a quiz kid from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. People used to listen to the radio every week to see what Lewis Potter was going to say and whether anyone could stump him. I saw a large number of African students top of the class. I said, how could African students come out of the jungles and don't know how to act? And they're the top students in the class, whether it's physics and chemistry. And they don't take easy courses. They take the hardest courses because they need to know the most, because they're going home. And they want Africa to have the best and the latest information. So you can find them in the library. You can pass by their dormitories and you see their lights were going on. Many African Americans are trying to party. Say, look, man, we study too long, too hard. We got to get the fun and entertainment while we can. But the African said, that's up to you, but we got to study because we got a mission. They said, what is your mission? Say, we got home after we graduate. We're going to major in engineering and physics and genetics, and we're going to be able to make a contribution to agriculture. We're not going to starve to death. We are going to survive and prosper because we're going to understand how to grow food. We're going to understand how to use a telescope. We're going to understand how space will open up over time, and we will be able to look at the world, make a contribution to the world, and make a contribution to Africa. The African brothers have done an incredible job. Now, don't look for the Tarzan movies to show you what Africa is. I have 10 offices in Africa, and I've had them for over a decade. When I go there, it is unbelievable. The people don't come up to me and say, are you a part African and another part? They just say, brother, where you been? We've been looking for you. We are. This is our day. Why did we go to college? Why did we sacrifice? Why did we study physics? Why did we study mathematics? Why didn't we say what James Brown repeated over and over and over? Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you from brother to brother, from the street meetings of Oakland, California, from the street meetings, Berkeley, California, that's what we did. We screamed and hollered at the students and said, look, you can do it. And we start getting more and more students. The LaBrie brothers, they said, look, brother, if you're going to holler and scream like that, I'm going to go to Berkeley and see if it's worth it. So you start getting more and more blacks going to junior college, going to Berkeley, going to San Francisco State, because they knew without an education, you may as well be dead. Reading. Muslims all over the world, you know the first thing in the Quran? Igra, igra, igra. That means read, read, read. Bill Gates recently selected an African American to be one of his top advisors. Bill Gates has enough money, he's reportedly the richest American in this country. He went out looking for someone that he could count on, who understood physics, who understood logic and reason. And he said, I want to get him as my top advisor. That young man I met when he was in Berkeley High School. We were screaming on the corner. We asked him about going to school. He said, I ain't interested in no school. I have other careers in mind that are more beneficial and pay more money. You know where he is today? He went and finished Berkeley High. He then went to Howard University, majoring in finance. He was then invited to Dubai in the Middle East. And he rose to the rank after 10 years of being the Minister of Finance in Dubai. After 11 years, he decided he wanted his children, he had two children, to get a little exposure to the land where he is born. He is now in Georgia. His children are blossoming, but they say, Pop, you know, we want to, you know, what we saw in Africa and what we saw in the Middle East, we want to get more of that reinforcement, people that believed in us. His children, ladies and gentlemen, are top A students in Atlanta, Georgia. Where did the motivation come from? We're flunking out 40, 50, 60%, but it doesn't have to be. You want me to prove it to you? And I'll stop talking. I want to prove to you the potential that has been stored in your DNA for centuries and centuries. All you have to do is go to a black junior high or high school. Tell them I'm going to play this recording. They just found the James Brown recording. People didn't know which were his last songs. Well, they got it now. He said, I'm going to play this song. And you watch the face of these black youth. They start nodding. They start looking at each other. They start inspiring each other, not with words, just with a look, only a look. When they put on that recording and the person says, I'm only going to play it one time, your brothers, sisters, your nephew, your nieces, they hear that recording one time and they know every word in sequence. How can you learn after hearing a recording one time, how can you learn every word in sequence and not be brilliant? Try it. You think it's so easy? Try it. As soon as this program's over, get a recording, put it on that you've never heard before. And after you hear it one time, you know every word in sequence, you can't do it. The young people can teach you how to do it if you teach them how to use the same process to master physics and chemistry and to master psychology and to master languages, to master equilibrium, to master how to balance your personality. You can do it. Your children, your younger brothers and sisters, all they need is a little encouragement. Just remind them just how bright they are. How, look at these musicians. They classify them as mentally retarded. They hear a song once or twice. They know every word. Teacher can't do it. Principal can't do it. This knowledge is critical. It's important. But once you see how it's done, it's a miracle. Now spread the word. We want people to know we want to major in physics and chemistry, law school, med school. We want to learn about statistics. We want to learn. Why do we want to learn? Because knowledge, my brothers and sisters, will make you feel good like black people should.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tell us a little bit about your time in the Black Panther Party. A lot of people don't know that you are Panther or Panther yourself. What was life like for you in the Black Panther Party?
All right. To be very clear, I was never in the Black Panther Party. Huey Newton used to be in the African American Association. I was a co-founder, along with Donald Hopkins and a number of people, of the African American Association. And a black businessman donated space in the building that he had right across the street from Merritt College. And on Friday night, that's where we met. And on Monday, that's where we met. And we discussed books. And we kept probing. Huey Newton attended those meetings. Bobby Seals attended those meetings. We weren't talking now about divisions. We were saying, how much can we learn and how quickly can we learn, because we had to spread the word. And our motto was, each one teach one. We didn't have any money. So the gentleman let us have his building right across from Merritt. And we used that building to attract, to build the self-confidence, to reassure blacks that this is our day, but nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You
That's
start
right.
seeing black people going to Merritt College carrying books. You see black people in the cafeteria having discussions. Everyone, Huey, Bobby Seale, Ken Freeman, Don Hopkins, education was the ingredient. You couldn't hardly get a date from a young black lady if you weren't getting A's and B's in class. This became the paradigm.
Wow.
It doesn't have to stop. We're just getting started, but I have to tell you right now while we're speaking, the persons in the world who score the highest in college, you can read this up on the internet, they are Nigerians. Now, they surpass the Jews. They surpass the Irish. They surpass the Germans. They surpass the Hispanics. They surpass, I'm talking about academics, just look at your grades. They surpass the Chinese. They surpass the Japanese. Now, I didn't say the African American. We don't surpass these groups. But
right.
people that look just like us, who have the same genealogy that we have the same capacity we have, the difference in performance is belief in oneself and who your peers and your friends are. In the Bay Area, Huey Newton, Bobby, everyone, they were saying, look, man, we got to read. People
mm-hmm.
outside of Merritt College said, what have you read lately, brother? And it's knowledge that brings about progress. The ability is there. The ability we have inside. But ability without bringing knowledge and energizing that knowledge and feeding the mind so it can expand. If you don't do that, you will contract. You'll be like the gentleman on the street corner sweeping the streets. But the same person, all of us could have been street sweepers, but by using the mind, self-confidence, Huey Newton, you had people screaming and hollering on the street corners, but it was positive. It was saying, brother, I know what you can do. I know what your abilities are. And we start getting higher and higher grades. It was a pride, it was honor that caused blacks to say, if I'm going to be in school, I want to be a B student. We did not say, well, white people will be A and B students, but we, you know, we don't have that. Mm-hmm. My friend, my family came from the South. You know, we were deprived and we were suppressed, so we're not going to be able to do that. But if we can stay in school, just at least get C's and D's, the B's, we'll be all right. You and Newton would say, no, that these ain't going to make it. We're talking about A's and B's. Honor grades, Bob Seale said. Khaled Al-Mansour said. Honor grades will make you feel good like black people should. It became contagious. Contagious. People took pride. They didn't hide. Before, if you were making A's, you didn't want anyone to know. Now right. You found. It's a new day. And it's getting better and better. Now, when you go to Africa, I don't want you to get shocked. In the entire continent of Africa, and in measuring the entire world, the highest rated students, that means their grades based upon tests, are found in Nigeria. Nigeria scores higher than the Jews, the Irish, the Chinese, the Africans. Born in Africa, outperform academically any group in America.
That's heavy.
Where does the African American fit? Down in the Caribbean, they're not the highest in the world. In America, African Americans are not the highest in the world. Africans born in Africa are the highest. You can see them in the library. You can see them thinking and planning and projecting why they want A grades. Why they want to get Phi Beta Kappa keys, the highest academic key in the world. Many people on these campuses, they don't speak to Africans. I'm talking about African Americans. Go to Berkeley. See how the African Americans act. But that's not what the African American Association taught. We taught that we descended from Africa. Now, who's teaching that today? Listen very, very carefully. The Chinese. Born in China. Those who have never been to Africa in their life. Some of them have never seen an Africa in their life. There is the latest genetical report adopted by the genetical journal. What was the conclusion? Africans born in Africa who are going to college outperform every group in America. How did they do that? Did they learn something from Tarzan? While people were making fun of Africans, say you're just clowns swinging in trees and screaming and hollering, Africans were demonstrated the importance of knowledge. They were learning. They were reading. And we just borrowed. After I visited Africa, we started teaching African history at the African American Association, 4022 Grove Street. Well, no ego deal. Our deal was reading, develop your mind. And more and more people start saying, I want to know a bit about Islam. Islam is a great religion, and the Quran is a great, but you know what the first words of the Quran is? Igra, Igra, Igra. That's Arabic. That means read, read, read.
Read.
Now, how are you going to call yourself a Muslim and you're not reading? That's the first thing. That's the thing to do. But the very first thing is to read. And we must deliver that message now because the time is running out. I just came back from this speech, and it's about 3,000 people in L.A., But they weren't thinking about me. They weren't thinking about the number of people. They start visualizing what they're capable of doing. They start viewing themselves as a historian. They view themselves as a doctor, as a dentist. They start viewing themselves as a proud warrior who was committed to knowledge. Read, read, read. I'm asking you to do me a favor. Spread the word. Read, read, read. Every time you call into a talk show, start off saying read, read, read. Here is who I am. Listen and live. Can I get a witness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that history with us to clear that up, because there's so much misinformation, as you say, out on the internet, and so we're trying to get it right from you so we can clear it up. But you were a mentor to a Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. That's
well,
correct?
But the thing is, we didn't use that word mentor. We said,
okay.
Huey said, look, I read this holler. You need to know this, because I heard you talking on a street corner. You were getting off base a little bit. You ought to check this book out. And Bobby Seale may came up to him and say, look, you ought to check out this. So it was a camaraderie for knowledge.
Gotcha.
You weren't trying to get bragging, right? You were saying, I need this knowledge if I'm going to help my race, because if I don't have the knowledge, what can I do? All I can do is start screaming and humming like they do in some churches. They say, look here, this is what you need to know. When you get to heaven, this is what you're going to look like. I said, well, wait a minute, what do you base that on? What do you base it on?
Mm-hmm.
Solomon said, I'm black and I'm beautiful. Some blacks, if you go up there and say you're black, you get slapped in the mouth.
That's right.
We got to go back to our roots, ladies and gentlemen. So what did the Chinese do? They hired the most intelligent scholars in the world. They say, find out. We don't care about blacks and anyone else. Find out where we came from. And the publications, if you call this radio station and ask them and they send me an email, I will send you the proof that was done by independent scholars to determine who were the biological, genetical antecedents of the Chinese, because today there's 1,300,000,000 just in China. And the Chinese say, in order to know our history, we got to know our history. Where did we start? Did we originate in China? Did we originate in Paris? Did we originate in Italy? Did we originate in France? Where did we originate? So they did the studies. They took the DNA, and they compared the DNA with people, tribes, races all over the world. And they found a marker. That's something that's inherited from generation to generation. And they kept sourcing that marker to its origins. And they found out that that marker originated in Africa.
Yes, sir.
So today, if you send me a request to this station, I'll send you the study that proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the Chinese originated, their ancestors came from Africa. So I'm saying that that's nice, that's good, but if we're not maintaining the standards of Timbuktu, we're letting down our ancestors. You're letting down Huey Newton.
That's right.
You're letting down Bobby Seale. We
That's
need
right.
to build on the past to make us stronger, better, more intelligent. This is our day. Again, I repeat, Africa is larger in landmass than India, China, Western Europe, and the United States combined can all be put inside of Africa. Why
mm-hmm.
shouldn't we claim our heritage?
Right.
I don't mind people saying they're American, but they weren't in this world originally as America, because America hadn't been discovered.
Exactly.
Africa is the oldest continent in the world. Africa has the oldest civilizations in the world. But just a few Tarzan movies has taught the African American that the last thing they want to be is of African descent. Chinese are
Absolutely.
Begging. They say, look, we know what we want. The African-American, the Negro, has been brainwashed for so many years to repeat, if you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, you can stick around for a little while. But if you're black, stay back.
That's
James
right.
Brown said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You choose which way to go.
Absolutely. Dr. Carr, let me ask you this on a religious tip. Some of our people have, you heard you talked about the Quran, some of our people have stayed away from Islam, believing that it is an Arab religion. Can you talk about the African roots and history that's in Islam?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to go back. It's not difficult. The first Muslims that we know about preceded Abraham. And Solomon. What did Solomon say? Solomon said, "Ye daughters of Jerusalem, I am black and I am good looking." That's Solomon. And mm-hmm. Solomon's father was David. Now, if Solomon was black, what did David look like?
Right.
And then you get back to Abraham and Isaac. And you get back to Adam, who was allegedly the first human. And what does Adam mean? Just the word is a darkened root. All right? Now, you take Moses. You've heard of Moses. God spoke to Moses, said, "Moses, listen to me now. I want you to be obedient. Take your hand and put it inside of your garment. Pull it out." What did it look like? It was white. Read the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. The miracle was white. Turning it from non-white to white was a miracle. Now, if Moses was already white, turning white to white's not a miracle. You wouldn't even think about it. You have to be other than white to have it. This is not just a slight change or a scar or a rash. This is dramatic. It's a miracle. Put your hand in your bosom. This was told by many people in the Old Testament. Pull it out. What is it now? It's white. White. You have a gentleman, Asa. You know, he had feet messed up. Did a lot of walking out in the sand. And Asa was told, put your feet in the water and bring them out. Before he put his feet in the water, the feet were white. After he brought them out of the water, they were restored to their original color. From white to white is not a miracle. You wouldn't even take any notice. If your hand is brown today and tomorrow is brown, you'd have said it's not a miracle. It's what you expected. So Moses, taking white to be a miracle, before it was a miracle, it was not white. So you track the Old Testament. Don't expect that your pastor is going to tell you on Sunday how to track, but I'm asking you to take the Bible. Solomon has a book called the Songs of Solomon. All you do is look in the table of contents of the Old Testament. You'll see Songs of Solomon. And you go there to the first chapter. These are the words of Solomon. Solomon said, "You daughters of Jerusalem, I am black." He didn't say he was brown. He didn't say he was fair-skinned. He didn't say that one day he hoped he'd be black or he hoped he'd be white. He was described in the Bible as being black. And when he was changed to white, that was a miracle because they didn't see many people like that. So why would blacks despise their original color that was shared by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob?
Good question.
I'm saying when you take your hand out and it's white, that's a miracle. Before the miracle, what did it look like? It wasn't pink, it wasn't rose, it was black. Solomon said, "I'm not going to have a 20 question. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I am black," and that means conjunction. They go together. Mm-hmm. "I am good looking." In other words, he's saying black is beautiful. 20 years ago, you go up and talk about something black is beautiful. And see, you say, "Man, you're trying to play the dozen. What's going on?" We've been brainwashed. Now, some of it carries over. You can go to Berkeley, California, and see the student body. How many African-Americans go up to an African and say, "Look, man, where are you from? Africa? Let's sit down and talk." That's what happens when I go to Africa. Africans come up and say, "Where are you from, brother? Sit down." We have, the Bible said, Solomon, to have friends, show yourself friendly. Why aren't we more friendly to the Africans, who were the beginnings of human civilization? Why don't you just go up and say, bro, look, we together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you speak to the thought that's here in America and some of our people, where they believe that the people in Africa, or our people that are in Africa, don't accept them, or that we're not them?
Well, I don't know how I could go to Africa and have 8 offices if people didn't accept me. I'm blind. I mean, I could pass for nothing. So why did I have 1 office in Ghana, 2 offices in Nigeria, 1 office in Kenya? My law partner now in Kenya is the head of Barclays Bank. Tanzania. I mean, I've heard blacks told me, man, don't go to Africa, you better be careful. You don't know what you've been running into. I said, I don't know, you may be right. You know, I've been going there about 16 years. I've never had any problem. I got friends all over. My first visit was 1964. I went to Accra, Ghana, shook hands with Nkrumah. And Nkrumah arranged for me to go to see Secretary. And he said, brother, you will see. This is our day. We're going to work. We're going to struggle. But we will have no inferiority, and we will never doubt our ability and our capacity. We are just like Solomon. Solomon said, I am black and comely. Comely means good looking. So Solomon, looking in the mirror, said, you daughters of Jerusalem, here I am. I am black and comely. Why don't we, when is the last time your pastor preached a sermon entitled Black and Comely?
Go ahead. Right.
Is he afraid? I mean, what's the problem? It's in the Bible. Solomon
right.
said he didn't hide. He didn't use any codes. You know, come up and nod head and hold up a black cloth and kind of get some sign. No. This is Solomon. And you know why that's important? According to the Bible, the Old Testament, Solomon was the most intelligent, wisest man that ever lived. Now, the
right.
wisest man that ever lived knew that black is beautiful. What is wrong with your leaders?
That's heavy.
What
yes,
is
sir.
Wrong with them? They say we're speaking in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we believe in the Bible. So do you believe in Solomon? Yeah, we believe in Solomon. Why did Solomon say, I am black and so good-looking?
That's heavy.
Brothers and sisters, I'm using the Bible, not the Quran. It says the same thing. It's time for us to wake up, because it will give you self-confidence. Not arrogance. Gives you self-confidence. So you find out you start getting B grades, and you start getting A grades. You start writing to people in Africa saying, I saw this magazine about Africa. I want to know a little more about you. And then I'll tell you about some of our things. And they say, we don't know that much about Africa. Tell us a little more. And Africans come to this country, and black Americans treat them like they have leprosy.
That's very true. That's very,
how,
very true.
How many times have we stopped an African and say, brother, look, I just want to shake your hand. Because we together, you're kissing kin. We from the same heritage. When I go to Africa, that's what they do to me. They say, brother, brother. I said, what do you want? They say, you're a brother. I said, well, me and you. No problem with that. No problem. But now, and I understand it, and people listening to the broadcast understand it, we've been living in an incubator where we've been taught that you determine the elements of beauty by going to the movies.
Right.
And Tarzan, all of the heroes, virtually white.
Right.
So to have 5 white celebrities or 100 white celebrity movie stars and 3 blacks, you're not going to start saying, well, I feel good about being black. No. If you, the more whites you see and the less blacks you see, you cannot sustain the racial pride. So
right.
You can tell your friends, I know, don't call me black man, I don't play that. What's wrong? Solomon did it, and he was intelligent. In fact, he was the most intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So what is wrong? White people call themselves white, they don't apologize. And say, look, I'm gonna say I'm white, but please, I hope you don't misunderstand. And I have this angel. I don't know what they look like. They're not described in Jerusalem, in the Book of Revelations. They don't tell you what the angels look like. I say, well, if they didn't tell you what the angels look like, why are all the angels you got in your church white?
Mm-hmm.
And you've done it so long and with such strength, the black churches have the white angel.
Right, right.
Now that's
right.
Not brainwashing. Talk to me.
Teach.
Did you ever see an angel and you saw that they were white, and therefore you say, I want to be historically and histology, I'm going to be correct.
Go ahead.
So
right.
Why are you calling them white?
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, tell me where you saw an angel white. Solomon said, I'm black. I mean, he could have said, I'm passing.
Right,
He said, I am black. And he said, don't stop now because I got something else to say. What did he add on? I am comely, good looking. That means what? Black is beautiful.
That's right.
Now, when is the last time your pastor stood up and said, everyone, listen to me now. Listen to me. Black is beautiful. When's the last time you heard that? Now, if white people said black is beautiful, then blacks would start imitating. I'm talking about
right.
Not imitating. Look in the mirror. If white people say white people are beautiful, I said, that's great. I'm happy for you. I'm black, and I know black is beautiful, so no big deal. I don't want to be white. I want to be black. If I have a choice to come back in the world again, there is no question what I'm going to look like.
I will
be black and brown. So they
That's
tell you
right.
You have your choice. You can be fair-skinned. You can be reddish. You can look like American Indian. You can be yellowish like Chinese. I said, that's fine. You're going to lose your focus going through all these variations in color. It's very simple. I'm black and I'm proud. That's what I am. That's what I want to be, period.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. He's on with us live, and you can ask him questions at 646-478-4447. We're going to take some of your calls. I want to ask, what was your impression, Doctor, of Sekou Touré when you met him?
Bad brother. He had no fear. He was intelligent. He spoke English and French. And he was committed to his people. He would go and walk down there among the blacks, just telling them, this is your day. Don't give up. Education was important. He said, read. This is your responsibility. Touré was a Muslim. And he said,
sure.
read in Arabic. It's Igra, Igra, Igra. He was giving speeches about Igra over and over and over. Now, when you look at the brothers and sisters from Guinea, they're at the top of the classes, whether they go to Harvard or Yale or Berkeley. They're at the top of the classes. Why? Because they have motivation. Motivation. They say, this is what I owe my people. I have to be an example. I can party one day a week. That's not a bad deal. I can play basketball one day a week. That's not a bad deal. But for every hour I play basketball, I have to study 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So he breeds discipline. He breeds motivation. Go to Berkeley. Go to any college and ask them, how are the Africans doing? I repeat again, Africans in college score higher. Their grades are higher than any group. Whether they're Chinese, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Japanese, the Africans score the highest. The African American is nowhere near the highest. We have a couple of people that are doing well, but generally we are B-, C+, C-. That's where we fall. Africans are far ahead. Now, how can an African look just like us and they end up being an A student and we end up being flunking out of school or C student or D student and making excuses? Mm-hmm. Saying, well, you know, next semester I may do better. Or, you know, those highest grades, that's for white people. That's not what we need as a race. We got to be militant. We'll be militantly intelligent.
That's right.
How many books have you read? What have you lost reading books? You can then give advice to your brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to scream on the street corner, but where is the knowledge coming from? A person who read continuously, Malik al-Shabazz.
Yes, sir.
Sometime he would call on the phone and just say, look, here's a book. I just finished it. I think you'll like it. He went, why would he take his time, go out of his way, make a long-distance call? Because he wanted to encourage black people to read as much as they can, because that's what the Quran says. Igra, igra, igra. Read, read, read. That's the message for young, old, everyone. If we don't do it, our dropout rate now is somewhere around 50-60%. What do you think the future of our race will be if we continue? We can blame anyone on you. The white people just don't like us. They hold them back. They got the same book I got. Now, how can they take the same book and get an A, and I get a D or an F?
Right, right.
You just make out your schedule. How much time do you spend reading? How much time do you spend in the library? How much time do you spend basketball? How much time do you spend partying? When you add it up, the conclusion speaks for itself. It's clear. You are what you do. It is time now. I've been, not long ago, 2-3 months ago, down in the Caribbean, giving speeches all over Jamaica. And I'm telling you, they are more focused. They're more committed to knowledge than we are. Trinidad, the same way. Brazil, same way. If we, African Americans, if we're not very careful, we will be rejected by most black people in the world, because we will be the greatest number of criminals, the greatest number of drug addicts, the greatest number of alcoholics, the greatest number of suicide. When you lose your reasoning capability, ask a Native American Indian. When they got them on the alcohol, you can't hardly find them. Now you know where they are. It's
true.
Up to us. It's up to us. We need to read. Write some letters to the brothers and sisters in Africa. Exchange ideas. Find out what they want. Tell them what you want. Because we, Africa, will be the largest group in the entire world. And if we don't prepare ourselves, if we don't read, if we don't have respect for ourselves, for the race, and for the world, we will be one of the primary instruments to cause the destruction of the race. On
yes,
the
sir.
Other hand, if we, you know, we had to, please believe me, we had the first university in the entire world. It was not in Oxford. It was not in Cambridge. It was not in Paris. It was not in China. The first university in the world was in Africa. And it was called,
right,
and is still called, University of Timbuktu. It's in West Africa today.
That's right.
Why doesn't the NAACP put this, and they have a convention? Why don't the church put this up there and just raise the question? That Jesus, he seems so intelligent, did he go to Timbuktu? University of Timbuktu. That's what other groups do. And the Jewish groups, they take their Bible and they start recycling the information. That's good, that's healthy, it's constructive. Our leadership does what? They say, well, what we really want to do is just integrate. Somehow hope that we'll wake up one day and we're white.
Right, right. That's
yeah,
right.
So if we can wake up white, that's what we want. And what? How do we demonstrate this view? If you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, you stick around. But if you're black, stay back. Now, how can you feel racial pride with that kind of suicidal repetition?
Right.
This is deep. Now, they learned it in slavery. But how long has slavery been over? A lot of things you learn in slavery you don't do today. If you read, you become intelligent, you make right decisions. And
that's
this,
right.
I want to say for all of those who are Muslim or want to be Muslim but just respect Muslim, let me tell you something and share something with you. I went to a black college, Howard University, and I didn't know what I was doing. I ended up majoring in logic and reason. That's the best thing I could have done in my life. Because when I went to law school at Berkeley, I mean, it was easy. If you can reason logically, law school was a snap. But I wouldn't
right.
have known that if I hadn't gone to Howard. We had instructors. They live logic day in and day out. You can go down to the cafeteria to have your dinner or your lunch. Maybe Winston McAllister invites you over to the table, and he teaches you how to apply logic to every facet of your life. Catching a taxi cab. If you're going to go be interviewed for a job, here are the likely questions. What are the answers? Well, this is what we did in class. You know the number of people, because people were afraid of logic and reason. The number of people in a reason, logic and reason class at Howard University rarely exceeded 5. People were just
wow.
scared of it. They said, man, we don't want to do that, man. That's just...
Man.
I'm telling you, I thank Allah for directing my path, because I knew nothing. Nothing. And I got... instructor saying, I looked at the classroom, I said, there's only 3 people in the room. I'm not going to be able to function because it'll be clear I'm retarded. Instructor
right.
started motivating, say, look, when you get through with logic and reason, this is where you're going to be. Here are the opportunities you're going to have. Here's the semester that it's going to take. I ended up majoring in philosophy. My law partner majored in philosophy. Then he went to Yale. Became one of the brightest students at Yale's law school. Another went to Penn, became one of the brightest students. Why? Because logic prepares you for thinking and reasoning. You don't have to scream and holler. Think.
Mm-hmm.
Read, read, read. Wisdom is the principal thing. This is what Brother Solomon said. Therefore, get wisdom, but in all of your getting, get understanding. So
that's
the transition
right.
from wisdom to understanding is logic and reason.
Good
Why
point.
Does the Old Testament say, come let us reason together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is... Now, why aren't we teaching this in the church?
Right.
Huey was teaching on the street corner. We didn't have any money. Said,
right.
man, you take that corner, we take this corner. If we scream loud enough... they're going to get our attention. They just give us 2-3 minutes. We're going to say everything we've ever said in life. But people
it's
start
like,
responding.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy
like
Nichols
that.
Had Downs Memorial Church. He said, look, why don't you meet every Monday night in my church? It's big and your
mm-hmm.
group is growing larger and larger. We didn't have a lot of nonsense. People were looking at thinking, reading. And some of the sisters said, you know, we won't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but... if you're not getting B grades, you know, I don't think you should be talking about dating. You don't have time
wow.
for dating. You got work to do.
Right.
Man, you haven't
That's
seen
right.
brothers start getting B's and A's. It's self-confidence.
Yes, sir.
And it means everyone is exercising the knowledge and acquisition. That is what the Jews do. That is what the Chinese do. Go to any university and tell them you want to see the highest achiever in
mm-hmm.
the university. I don't care whether it's Harvard or Yale, whether it's McClyman's high school, or whether it's Merritt. And you will see that these things, they're saying, well, I don't know where I can go home, and I don't have a B.A. My parents, they'd be salty. And my sister's going to, she got admitted into college. She started making fun of me. You have a encouragement based on the grade. Not necessarily based on the new shoes, the new haircut. What have you done for me lately? And in the Bay Area, and there's a movement there, I have to be honest, I have not seen the enthusiasm for knowledge as common across America and black communities as it was in the Bay Area.
Yes, sir.
We had street meetings in front of McClyman. We had street meetings. It only took two or three people. We were screaming and hollering.
Mm-hmm.
And the person didn't say, well, you know, I don't speak that well. I don't know what I'm going to do. They said, brother, it's not whether you speak too well. What are you saying? If you had a content, you will speak it. And that's how the movement began. And it's continued to expand. Oh, brother, Ron Coringa.
Mm-hmm.
Down there in Los Angeles. He said, look, come down here, get some speeches down here, because we're ready. So the momentum continued to grow, and it's still growing now. There are more Muslims than I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, sir.
And as you go around the world, Malaysia, Tundaim is a genius. Malaysia is Muslim. All I have to do is say, assalamu alaikum. And they say, well, sit down here. How long are you going to stay? All over Africa, the movement, you can't turn it back now. It's too late. And people now are having greater respect for the family, greater respect for the wife, for the girlfriend, for the husband, for the boyfriend. Jobs. They say, look, let's get together on the weekend and prepare ourselves for different jobs. This is happening now.
Yes, sir.
Today. And the African-American, there are some signs, but it's not like the African. Now, how can the African come from the village? 22% of every African is an A student. 33% B students. 36% C students. And only 9% D or F. Among the African-Americans, D and F, we have over 42 of our entire race fall in that category. So how can the African American, the memory is there, we know that. It's direction, motivation, self-confidence.
Yes,
sir. If you don't have the self-confidence, it's going to be a lonely trail to follow. So instead of us just sitting down in the cafeteria with gossip, why don't we talk about it? I don't want to get the man's name, but I just saw he came. I knew him in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he already had determined what he was going to be. He was going to be a thug.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman now has an MBA.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because he found himself. And he said, this is the easiest thing. I should have been doing this when I was in grade school. But the pastor didn't stress the importance of education. Sunday school didn't stress the importance of reading widely.
That's heavy. That's
any
heavy.
Of our parents. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No, go right ahead. Finish your point, sir.
No, I'll be here forever. Let me go because there's other people want to talk to you, and they deserve the time. But I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
And I say to
everyone out there, assalamu alaikum. This is our day.
Hey, Doc. Dr. Collins.
Yes.
We were going to take some calls for you, sir. I wasn't putting you
off. Oh, all right. No problem. You're the boss.
No, where
you lead, I will follow. Whatever you say.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Woody, we want to take your calls, brothers and sisters. We have with us Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, who is dropping plenty of knowledge on us, plenty of information, and clearing up the misinformation. Let me go right to the phone lines, as we're honored to have him on. First with... I'll call it here at 504-432. 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio and Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, brother, my question is this. Now, I noticed in today's time about the, I think, is it the ADL or the JDL really speak out against the new Black Panther Party? Now, I went on the website. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. They said that the Jewish Defense League had came out against the original party in New York. I don't know if I'm true, but I just want you to, you know, if that's true.
Repeat that again. Let me make sure I understand. What did they say?
They said that... the Jewish Defense League had came out against the original party in New York City, came to the meeting, and they protested against the original party. Is it true?
I've never heard it. This is just my opinion. If that had happened, it'd be double headline front page, not just in New York, but all over America.
Okay.
The media would say, we can make plenty of money doing this, promoting this, highlighting this. Why would they do it?
Well, I guess that's to stop the rise of the consciousness of the black people.
But rumors they can spread anytime.
Yeah.
But did you see it in the newspaper? Why would not be headlines?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I just looked on YouTube.
Right, but I'm talking about, did they give any reference? Any reference? Yeah, but then question is, how can you conceal that? You would want everyone to know it if this is what really happened. You would say, yeah, I'm going to spread the word everywhere to discredit blacks. Mm-hmm. I would use it to say, Barack Obama, what's your problem? What are you going to do? You going to run up to Harlem and settle this thing?
It's true.
Well,
Brother Sean Kweli, you know, I think y'all doing a wonderful job and stuff like that. And maybe I need to get on the ball myself, you know, do a little work.
Well, there's one phrase I'd like to leave with you. It's in Arabic. It's La Shukran Ala Wajib. And that means you never have to really thank a true brother when he's doing his duty. So I'm doing the will of Allah. I appreciate the compliment, but I'm just getting started. Thank you very much.
All right,
yes, sir. Thank you, Black Power. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I haven't heard that either, Doctor. I know that the JDL and ADL attack us pretty heavy, the new Black Panther Party. I haven't heard them attack the Panthers of the 60s. They attacked you too for a while, right? The ADL and JDL.
They still do.
Oh, yeah.
And I ask them, you know, you should make some money out of it. Let's have a debate anywhere you want. And up to now, this has been now for 8 years that I've been asking to have a debate. I said, all you do is intellectual, you just crush me, and you will be the heroes of the world. But they haven't accepted the invitation yet.
Ain't that something? Why do you think it is that as soon as you speak out against some of the things that their community does, that you're immediately called anti-Semitic? They called Dr. Khaled anti-Semitic, us anti-Semitic.
That's right.
why do you think that is? What is,
because
what is
they,
it about
they're, that? They're talking. They're not talking to you. They're talking to white people.
Uh-huh.
See, they say anti-Semitic, the general American population, because of the number of people Hitler was responsible for killing, that you have people say, you know, They beat up the Jews too much, so the Jews say they're being criticized and ostracized. We believe the Jews. So it spreads throughout the white community, and it gives those who are projecting themselves as oppressed, people say, well, we don't want to be like Hitler. We don't want to do the things that Hitler did. So it helps the Jewish community in some sectors. There's other Jews who are not pleased, but in general, they have committees and they plan what are going to be the steps, what's going to be the move. How many committees do we have? You got the NAACP, you got the Urban League. When are we going to get together just to agree on one thing? And that one thing is, black is beautiful. Say it loud. We're black and we're proud. Why wouldn't all of these groups together, Urban League, everyone, just for one day?
Interesting. Yes, sir.
Make
That's
a double headline throughout all of the world, all over Africa, Caribbean. I've given speeches all over China, Southeast Asia. We are, I don't know if you heard these two Muslim brothers. I had an interview with them a couple weeks ago, and they went to Mecca. And they didn't know what to expect, but they were professional football players. So they went to the teams they were playing for and said, look, we want to take a leave of absence for a year because we want to find out about our religion. So they looked and they said, yeah, but you're not going to get paid. They said, that's fair. So they went to various places, but Mecca was a big deal. People there's, you're talking, you go to Mecca, it's 3, 4, 5 million people.
That's right.
Walking slowly around Mecca, and what they were saying, they said these are African American. They almost got mobbed. Salaamu Alaikum, shake your hand. You know Muhammad Ali, you are in Mecca. We respect you so much. Please don't leave. Why don't you move here? Bring your family here. You'll be happier. Now, they're trying to tell the world that Muslim Islam doesn't like black people. They don't like Africans.
Right.
Now, these brothers, I interviewed them on the radio 2 weeks ago. And I said, look,
yes,
brother, now tell it. You got no censorship, nothing. What happened? He said, man, it's unbelievable. People came over. They said, do you ever see Muhammad Ali? Tell him we said this. And we so proud of the African American. He said, man, to be an African American in Mecca, that's the thing to do.
Man.
There's a lot of people. I mean, if you go to Saudi Arabia, not just Mecca, you go to Riyadh, I can take you to some mountains where blacks are carved into the mountain.
Man, wow.
Now, not one time, many. I can take you all over the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
The Khoisan tribes, the biggest tribe in Saudi Arabia is a black tribe. People will come up. If I go anywhere in Saudi Arabia, they'll say, excuse me, are you Dosri? And I told them, well, a little bit. They said, but you know, you're Dosri. Your mother and father Dosri, right? Because Dosri was the first and the largest tribe in all of Saudi Arabia, and they're black.
Wow, black tribe.
Yeah, I saw the Emperor Wu in China. You know, it'd be amazing. If I showed you a picture of Emperor Wu, he's black, brother. He can pass for nothing.
Wow.
One of
straight
the
up black.
But why doesn't the New York Times put on the front page? And why
right.
doesn't our why don't our churches do it? Why do we have to
right.
wait for someone to do it? It's just a photo. Put it there. And put underneath it, guess who? The next time, put the name in the books where they can see it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this if we don't come through now. You got this brother, Nigerian, Oxford. It's where he went to first school out of Nigeria. His father went to Howard's Med School. Hakeem went to Oxford. And then Hakeem majored in engineering economics. They went to Cambridge. And after he finished Cambridge, so he had a degree from Oxford, a degree from Cambridge, and then he went to Harvard and got an MBA. Now, you know what's interesting?
What's that, sir?
He graduated number one in all three schools.
Man.
Then he took over a bank called United Bank for Africa. That bank today, while we speak, is at 76 Madison Avenue in New York City. So he's
Man.
A big multi-billionaire in Nigeria, but he works, he plans, he thinks.
Mm-hmm. That's
now
good.
We have to spread the word so that we don't get left behind.
Exactly.
Sitting in and crawling, you ain't going to go to Nigeria and say, we're going to sit in and crawl in and make you take our money. Forget all that.
Uh-huh.
We have the ability. We have the opportunity. This is the time to move. Stop the
yes,
self-pity. Time
yes, sir.
To read. Logic and reason. The Quran says there's nothing better. There's nothing more valuable, and there's nothing more productive than logic and reason. It is through logic and reason that Allah created the universe, including humans, and it's through logic and reason that Allah will judge humans. In other words, there will be no con games. You're not going to get to heaven or paradise and say, well, you know, Allah, you were so great, and, oh, I thought about you night and day, and I ain't going to make it. He said, step on the scale.
Right.
Here is what was asked of you, and here is the progress, and here is when you went backwards. Here's the judgment. You cannot come here and try to flatter me. It ain't going to work. It's insulting.
Right.
What you bring is your life. How did you live?
Yes, sir.
And that's how you will be judged. I love it.
Yes, sir.
I
yes,
love
sir.
It. That's why during Ramadan, I say, Allah, look, this is what I like to do. I don't know whether I can do it. But as soon as Ramadan is over, I want to start reading books and try to select a subject for my Ramadan book. So the first day of Ramadan, I start writing my new book. The last day of Ramadan, I stop. By doing that, using that discipline, because I wouldn't have done it on my own. I would have had some excuse saying
yes,
I'm fasting, I'm weak, I can't do that, I ruin my health. As a result of doing that as a commitment to Allah, saying, Allah, you've been very kind. You've been, so it's not enough for me to say you've been kind. That don't mean nothing. I want to do something that's beneficial to Islam. It's beneficial to the recognition of Islam. So the books now, the one coming up, the next Ramadan, will be book number 44.
Wow. 44
one of the
books
is about 1,000 pages.
Good job.
And I want a different subject each time. And I find myself really learning. So flying around on airplanes, I'm reading and reading. Then I come back, I start thinking. You know, this is the essence of this book. And I look at all of the different books, and I say, this is interesting. This is an opportunity. I say, Allah, please, I don't want you to read for me. I just want to keep the motivation that you have given so that I can continue to broaden my knowledge base. The Quran says, search the world for knowledge.
Sure.
So that doesn't
mean
go to the library once a year. Or have an argument in the barbershop once every 3 years. Go everywhere seeking knowledge. Your mind becomes expanded. Your insights become incredible. You become a better father, a better mother, because you're now using logic and reason. Because if you don't, you're going to run into problems.
Right.
Because if, let's just take a hypothetical. If a Roman soldier took a sword and killed Jesus, and if Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God is one, if Jesus was dead, everyone was dead.
That's true.
That's logic. So it's through logic and reading and, you know, pushing yourself and in thinking, the motivation, you know, I'm learning more, I can do more for my race, my family, I can do more for the community. But nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Leaves nothing.
That's right.
Yes, sir, Doc. Yes, sir.
That's
we got
why you
call.
Should be congratulated for this radio show you have, because you're educating people who went to school and weren't listening. They're listening to you, so you're doing something right.
Yes, sir. All praise is due.
Yes,
we're going to take another call here.
All right.
I think this is... our brother here, Brother Dennis Latham. Let me see if this is Dennis Latham. Brother Dennis, you on with us, sir?
Hallelujah!
All right, Dennis Latham. Welcome to Black Power Radio. You on with Khaled Al-Mansour. Your
yes,
question,
sir.
Your comment, sir. Black Power.
You know what? I'm just gonna be respectful. Sean, I appreciate what you're doing here. I'm gonna be respectful and just say, cut me off when you're ready for me to stop. Just mute my phone or whatever. But I got brother. Go ahead.
Do you got a question? You got a question or a comment?
Well, I got a bunch. So just stop me. Just mute my phone when you're ready to shut me up. But let me get started here. Brother, I'm so glad to hear you speaking tonight with all of this truth that you're bringing forth. But I do have something I'm going to bring to the table here for you to discuss and to tell me what to do. But I just want to make it clear that I only deal in facts, proofs, and truths and personal experiences. I don't deal with excuses, guesses, and opinions. So
great.
To me, opinions are of Satan. This is a European thing that they have brought to the table, saying everybody got the right to their own opinion. You know, that's a lie from the pits of hell, because everybody don't have the right, even though everybody takes that right, but everybody don't have that right, because most opinions are lies anyway. Now, what my point is I want to make with you, what I do is I infiltrate. I don't run, I infiltrate. Now, sometimes I will infiltrate and let them think they are in control, but really I'm in control because I'm the one pulling the string.
All right, but what's your point? What's the point you're making?
Okay, my point is this right here. I'm able to infiltrate American government, the FBI, CIA, the cops, judges. I'm able to infiltrate them. But what I can't, what I'm having a hard time infiltrating and taking control of is people like Steve Harvey, Michael Fazan, Cornel West, Smiley, Jackson, Sharpton, all these other people who are at the top of the black chain.
Brother, let me just stop to let you know, I understand what you're saying and I agree with you. Go on to the next point.
Okay.
I agree with the names that you call and the conclusions that you are attributing to them. So you preach to the choir right now. We have the same view.
Okay, then I want some steps to take to shut them down and give us what we need, because we've been around long enough. We are smart enough. We got enough resources where we should have our own stations, our own news networks, because what's out there now is doing nothing but pumping us the negativity that we don't need. So I want some steps where we can take over, shut them down.
Well, excellent, you have to question. Find out who owns the stations where they are broadcasting now. And how does a broadcast radio station or television, how do they stay in business? They stay in business by selling advertisement. If they couldn't get any ads, they would fire all of them, because there would be no way to pay the bill. So the question is, if putting together programs where an audience is listening, then the audience can be informed. Here are the people that are sponsoring my show. We want to show our appreciation.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I appreciate, and you know what, I learned so much from you tonight. I mean, this is awesome to have all of this knowledge that you dropped out here and all of this being recorded. You know, I'm going to be listening to this for so many days on top of days. But I want to thank you again for talking with me. I want to thank you, Sean, and I want to thank the people who made this possible. Last thing I want to say is that I just really appreciate you. I love you, man, and I appreciate it. And last thing I want to say is this right here. It just saddens me that all of my people are clinging to these controversial issues all the time. They don't solve anything. They just keep
exactly. Up exactly. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah.
All right. Appreciate it. That's Brother Dennis Latham. We'll take another caller here. And thank you so much, Brother Dennis, for your call. We'll take the call here at area code 347-272. You're on live with our brother, Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, Black Power Radio. Question, your comment, please, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean Kweli.
Hey,
Black Power, Dr. Khaled, how you doing? Black Power to all my comrades.
Alhamdulillah, welcome.
Sisters. Thank you, brother. As always, I'm just going to confirm something that you guys are speaking about, man. Y'all are covering so much, and y'all are covering so much in-depthly that under no circumstances do we allow another coach to pick the coach of our team. If somebody on the other team or our enemy is criticizing something that we're doing, then we could take that as testament that we're doing something right. Understand? So as Brother Dennis Latham was saying, with a lot of so-called appointed leaders, or as I like to often call misleaders, they've been dropping the ball, they've been fumbling the ball, they ain't been doing something right. So we need a whole new slew of revolutionary leaders with new ideas that's going to do the work.
Well, I think the first step is ask any of the leaders or wannabe leaders, what is the program and how would it benefit the people? Because right now the program has been integration and no one knows what it means. But they use the phrase, pickets for integrating lunch counters. Tickets for going to predominantly white schools. But no one's picketing for blacks to go to black schools.
Right, that's right.
And unless it's better to flunk out of a white school than a black school, and you flunked out in either case, what is the real purpose of the strategy? This is what the civil rights groups has never addressed. If you get the right to vote, and you get a Barack Obama, you can get a black president. But Barack will tell you, when you look at the Congress, the Senate, if you don't have the votes, you're not going to get the policies. The bills will not pass. you can get opportunities to take some vows, and you can encourage, go to schools and encourage people and motivate. But practically speaking, the Jews did not concentrate on being president of the United States. The Japanese
did
not.
That's
the Chinese did not. They concentrated on unifying the group, cooperating, excelling in school, saving money, not using all their money on drugs and alcohol, and avoiding divisions, not giving in to divide and conquer. If we were to adopt what the Irish, the Italians, the Jews, as a strategy, we would not be cutting each other up on the weekends. We would not be blaming. We would not feel that we're not capable of excelling. And the time is now. We know the problem. It's a matter of discipline and sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
No one's going to make you read. It's just easy to give you an F and let you flunk. But what inside makes you read? Let me give you one clear example. A young black teenager, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years of age, can listen to a recording one time and know every word in sequence. Principal can't do it. Their homeroom teacher can't do it. The president of the United States can't do it. This is proof of the capability of the youth. Now the matter, take that mind, feed it and direct it so that it continues to expand. That's what the Jewish community does. That's what the Chinese community does. They continue to expand the minds of their youth through challenges, through proper eating, proper exercise. What do we do? As an example, our biggest meetings are held probably in church. When is the last time you've seen on a bulletin board a menu of what to eat?
Good
to be
point.
Healthy. We're told, you know, pig feet, anything.
Whatever.
Things that you learned to eat during slavery, just keep on eating them. Ham and pork and, well, what happens, I mean, that's not my view, that's the view of science. When they analyze the grease, it's almost impossible to digest it. So undigested grease starts clogging your internal communication system. So digestion becomes more difficult. Bowel movement becomes more difficult. But no one stands up and says, look, stop taking all that grease, because you're going to come to a premature death. You're going to get cancer sooner than you realize. Why are not our best minds every Sunday morning preaching about nutrition?
Good point. Well, I believe we got to feed the body, the mind, and the spirit equally. Well, not equally, the spirit being the greater part needs more feeding. But yes, we have to provide the proper nutrition for the body.
Well, if they're taking their direction from God, is it that God wants them to eat all that ham and stuff themselves and put on 300 pounds? Is that the will of God?
You eat that ham if you want to be a pig.
This is the challenge, and if you try to raise the question, I'm not against the church, I'm not against any of them, but I'm saying that they have to take responsibility for what they do and what they do not do.
Yes, sir.
There's many people listening to them each week. They're obese, they have ulcers, they're having heart attacks, and all the minister says, you know, put a little more money in the plate and I can come and visit you in your hospital and pray for you.
Right, teach. Good teaching. Good
yes,
teaching,
sir.
Bob. Right.
Well, we got to get away from that old way of thinking and that old way of teaching and embrace
Absolutely.
What is new and truly going to work for us as a people.
True.
Right.
Yes, sir. Brother Shaw, we thank you so much for your call. We got
thank
to get
you.
To the next caller, please, sir.
Thank you. Black
thank
power,
you so much for your call. Black power to you. Brother Frank Shaw out of Queens, New York. We have another caller here, area code 347-552. Area code 347-552. You're on live now. Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour and Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, Brother Sean. How are you?
Black Power. Fine, ma'am. How you doing?
Can't complain. Black Power, sir. How you doing?
Very good, my sister. Thank you very much. Black Power to you.
Black Power, sir. My name is Sister Icy, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
All right.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for all the work that you've done for us as a people. And I just want to tell you it's an honor to hear you and to have the privilege to even to hear you and be able to speak with you.
Thank you very much. I just want you to know that you really don't have to thank a true brother when he's doing his duty. I don't have any choice. This is the will of God, and I want to devote the time, and especially when the message can be of use to our race and the world, that's enough to keep me going.
Yes, sir. That's beautiful. I have a question for you. My question is, you know, I'm out in the street often. I'm out there talking to people. I'm out there at rallies, you know, doing a lot of things. And I just wanted to know, how can, in 2012 going into 2013, what can we possibly do to put the Black Power agenda on the map? Because it's necessary, it's needed. You know, I'm really, you know, reaching the youth and everything, but it's just like so many of our people, when they hear the Panther Party, it's like, you know, so many of our people are afraid and stray away from that. So I just wanted to know, what can we do in 2012 going to 2013 to keep that Black Power agenda that's so needed in the forefront and on the map?
Well, I think you have to use artificial but effective media. You have to talk to some of the entertainers, some of the rappers, and tell them, look, you got a tremendous following. It can be even bigger and better if you were include in your message self-confidence. It's all right to talk about problems in the ghetto. It's all right to talk about jealousy in the ghetto. That's expected. But why don't you do a rap song about eating properly, don't overeat, studying, developing your mind, be an example for your sons and your daughters, demonstrating to your children that you would like spend a little time with them to go over their homework. And the young people look, they're surprised, but they have great respect. They run to school telling their friends, you know, my mother was going over my lessons with me, or my father, when he came, he was doing it. We want to build the family again. Scolding is not going to be able to deliver. Just telling your kids you're never going to amount to anything, you're just like your father, I mean, that's just not going to work. We've used it too long, and there's no indication it's going to work. So we need a strategy showing the young people the benefits of pursuing knowledge. The even in the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but in all of your getting, get understanding.
That's right.
So this you read out of the Bible to your children so that they start saying, you know, if I said that, my friends would start laughing at me. So we'll try it a little while and see what happens. So gradually, just like the rap, at first no one was going to do rap. Now it's everywhere. Because there's a vision, there's a message, there's a determination of what to do and how often to do it. Visit the radio station and saying, you know, there's a record out. You never play a record. If you keep on doing this, we're going to have to ask people not to support your radio station. Then the radio owner is going to say, you know, there's some message records out that reinforce racial pride, that reinforce education. Why don't you dedicate some of these songs to students that are getting honor grades? No flunkouts, no dropouts, honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should. So it becomes contagious. The radio call-in shows start hearing encouragement for pursuit of knowledge. And that becomes then contagious. That's what we did in California. We started a book discussion group. We just got together and read books on Sunday. And at first, you know, people were a little, had mixed feelings. But if I were just now to recite the names of people that every Sunday, came to the meetings, and start coming on Friday and Monday. One guy now who's the top advisor to Bill Gates came out of that group. We have people that found themselves. They had a sense of self-confidence. They were reading. I just went to L.A., saw one of the people from the Bay Area, you know, and it's been about 15 years since I've seen him. But he brought the book everywhere he went. He's reading about physics and science because that was the culture that was developed. Why not build that culture? Because one person or two persons by themselves is going to be tough. You need to create an aura. And you tell the young people, you heard the record and you knew all the words after one time. That means you have an incredible mind. Why not spend a little of that time pursuing knowledge or physics or how the world turns or career planning or how to develop a love of knowledge or why Solomon was called the wisest man that ever lived. All I know, Solomon said, I am black and comely.
That's right. Meaning yes,
good
sir.
Look. Why don't we recycle this from the parents to their children, to the teachers in school? Teach, go up and tell a teacher, you know, I'm really happy that you're black. The teacher said, why is that? You shouldn't be a racist. I said, not a racist. I'm just following Solomon. He was the wisest man that ever lived. He said, black is beautiful. I'm following him. Is there something wrong with that? So that
that's
you
right.
Quietly begin to open up the mind and the hearts. And you start removing some of that race hatred that we have developed from slavery to today. Because when you look at TV, the decision makers, not the musicians, the decision makers, the Einsteins, those who are paraded over the television to demonstrate what percentage are black, what percentage are white, and who are they imitating. When they bring physicists on TV, rarely is that physicist black. So we need to talk to family, parent groups, to tell them that Jewish groups come to the school and they say there should be more Jews who are given exposure. Catholics groups, that's the same thing. Irish, they say the same thing. And we depend upon the religious leadership to make the corrections. But when is the last time the religious leader in the churches in the black community said, I want all of the students to bring their grades when the report cards come out because I want to have a special prayer thanking God for their A's and B grades. That means if you do that every Sunday or every other Sunday, students keep saying, you know, I want to go there and show my grades. Now I got to, and they tell them, this is what you have to do.
Right.
Listen, do the homework. Be prompt and ask the teacher, how can I raise my grades to get higher scores? The teacher will be happy to tell you. But if no one says it, the parents don't go up and find out what's going on, how will the youth get motivation? If they go
That's
out for football, people are screaming and hollering, go, brother, go. So there's a back force reinforcing motivation. But if you say, I want to be number one in the class, how many members say, great?
Sir, I love and I appreciate everything, the information you gave me. I'm gonna take what you said, sir, and run with it. And the first place I'm going to is the church.
Great.
Love you. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much. Peace,
Thank
black
you very
power.
Much. All
right. Peace and black. But that's Sister Icy right out of Brooklyn, New York, and
All
she
right.
is working with the youth, working with a program called the Panther Cubs. And so that's I know she's fired up. She's gonna go buck wild.
Yes, man. I used to have an office there in Brooklyn. Lewis Clayton Jones was running it.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Maybe she can link up and help.
Oh, he's passed now, but there's other
okay.
things that can be done. Yeah, definitely.
Yes, sir. Let's take the last caller here.
from a brother named Poverty Supreme. Brother Poverty Supreme, you're on live with Black Power Radio. Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, your question, your comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power, highly blessed. I'm calling from the UK, brother.
So, all right, Black Power. Yes, sir.
Hello, brother. I'm black as well, so let's make you look, guys know that.
it's all good. You in the United Kingdom. What's your question for our brother, the Khaled Al-Mansour? I'm coming.
Brother Khaled Al-Mansour, have you ever been to the UK before, my brother?
I have indeed. I've had an office right in the Bowater House. A block down the street from the most fancy store in London.
Okay, what area was that?
And that's, huh?
What area is that?
In London. Oh, you know, London.
The famous
stores. The famous, when you talk about the most popular store in all of London. Harrods.
Okay. Oh, in West End, yeah?
Harrods.
London. Okay, in central London.
If you leave the door at Harrods and turn left, when you get to the block, you'll see a big building there, and that's our office.
Okay, brother. And when are you back in the UK, brother?
Well, I move on a continuous basis. I spend a lot of time in the Middle East, especially in Saudi Arabia, a little time in Egypt, but West Africa, a lot of time, East Africa, a lot of time, in Southern Africa, a lot of time. And then Malaysia, I spend quite a bit of time. And Brazil, some so-and-so. But generally, Paris, we have two offices. But I like traveling because I can read and think and study and try to distill information to share with my brothers and sisters on the radio or anywhere we meet.
Okay, well, can I ask you, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, just two questions.
All right.
All right, I'll ask you this anyway, brother. In your opinion, brother, is the white man the devil? And if he is, how important is that teaching to black people? Do you think that's a necessary teaching for black folks in order?
My personal view is you can call white people devils all you want. That's not going to improve your production or your success in life.
Okay.
What is the residual value?
Well, I mean,
of white people calling blacks monkeys, and we calling them devils, what does it do in terms of motivating us to read or motivating? Are we going to say we're not going to read Einstein's book because he was white?
I'll say this then, Baba. When I was younger, I used to be in the streets hard. And, you know, for 20-odd something of my life, I would have killed a brother for looking at me wrong. Now, when I got the teachings that I started to see Khalid Muhammad tapes and films, that took it out of me. That started to make me have more love for my brothers and sisters. I felt safer around white folk because I didn't feel like I was going to be under attack. But with black folk, because I was in the streets, I was kind of, if you weren't my friend, I was kind of, what can I say, I was indifferent, you know, I was always on my guard, you know. For me, it helped me, because now I wouldn't even entertain killing my brother unless I know for certain he's out to kill me, you know. But I mean, I give peace and love, and I've changed since I've known that teaching. So I think it was very necessary for me, and I feel that a lot of the other youth that I see still, you know, that I grew up with were still on the drugs and the effery.
Exactly.
And
where will they end up in life? If they don't change, they can call white people devils and every other name on the earth. What do they have to offer their brothers, their sisters, their wives? How much reading do they do? So calling people names is a cop-out. It does not provide you with a platform of how to move further.
So why don't they say, look, I'm going to save my money and go visit Africa and see if there's anything happening?
No. My brother, I said that it helped me. And the rest
of
the
I understand what you're saying.
And I said, my friends haven't taken in that teaching. And the other youth that are growing up on the streets, they haven't taken to that teaching. They don't even know the teaching.
I understand what you're saying. But I'm telling you, we did the same thing. We went into the streets.
And
we were screaming and hollering on the street corners. And we were getting these brothers a feeling of self-confidence. If I were just to recite the name of these brothers, we got brothers in Europe, we got brothers in the Caribbean, we got brothers in Asia, but they started right out there in Berkeley at our street meetings talking about no flunkouts, no dropouts, honor grades will make you feel good like black youth should. They internalized it.
He said,
if you can listen to a recording and you know every word, math is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability. So we built their confidence where other people were destroying their confidence. And tell them, look,
right.
You don't have to study physics. You don't have to study engineering. You don't have to study. That's a white man's knowledge. That's just suicidal.
No. My brother. What I mean is, again, I even when I heard Khalid Muhammad the first time, I think what enticed me to Khalid Muhammad is, I'm not going to lie, it was entertainment. I actually found it funny. But then when I actually broke it down, I started to look into history and stuff like that. I started to, you know, and I started to find out that they put the drugs and the guns on the streets for us to kill each other, you know?
Yes, sir.
When I realized that stopped me, I'm just saying to you, brother, that changed my path when I realized that the devil has put this out there to tempt me to go and kill my brothers. And I was just confused. Why did the devil? That's so I'm saying that my brothers and sisters out here who are still caught up in the streets and the young ones coming up, they don't understand. They just hear that. They might hear it. They're not going to take it in. They have to get a proper education and knowing of thyself.
Brother, I understand what you're saying. We face the same thing. But we held street meetings in the street, and week after week start getting blacks to change. These were black people who were called thugs, called addicts, and everything else. If I gave you a name, what was Malcolm X?
Yes,
straight up thug.
It's a matter
of
if no
pimp.
One had talked to Malcolm and say, look, you're running with the wrong crowd, I don't want to have anything to do with you, Malcolm X would have never done it. The message, what is the purpose, what's the platform, how
That's
do you
right.
execute, and how do you reinforce? This show is going to do more to build confidence in the race.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one listening to this show calling in here and say, look, all we need is to feel superior to everyone else. And we'll be all right. No, people are here making suggestions, offering ideas, stressing the importance of education, stressing the importance of racial pride, stressing the importance of respecting each other, and most of all, stressing the importance of respecting ourselves.
Yes, sir.
My brother from the UK,
the doctor is very clear on what you're saying. I think he's just saying that we can't stop right there. We are students of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Even he say you can't stop right there. You got to expand your base. And so we're firm on that. And the Quran talks about on that great day gathering up the guilty blue eye. We're clear on all of that. But we're saying what the doc is saying clearly is that for us as a people, we can't get stuck just on knowing that history or that teaching. But we have to also have that agenda. We have a 10-point platform to push for our education, our liberation, an unfair taxation, all kind of things. And so we just got to be holistic. That's what we're saying here.
Yeah. I understand, brother. I'm just saying, you know, I grew up in Tooting. That's like a couple miles away from Brixton. I was on the streets, you know, from 96 up to 2005 or whatever, you know, for about 10 years. And, you know, a lot of the culture, the gang culture from America seeped into our community.
But if you talk to people like Malcolm, he went through the same thing.
Yes, I know.
One day he made up his mind, not only he was going to change, he was going to be a part of the change of his brothers and sisters and his friends. And that's how the movement continued to expand. But if all he had said is there are people out there doing drugs, there are people out there not respecting itself, that's not enough. Describing the problem is not enough. What is the answer? What is the solution? What steps should be taken in order to bring about change for those people in the bottom of their heart would like to change, but they're hooked?
Yes, sir. Brother from the UK, we appreciate you. We got it. We got to keep it rolling because I don't want to hold the doc too long. But I want you to get in touch.
One more question, please.
Well, we got it. We got to keep moving because I don't want to hold the doc all night. But
I'm not going to keep it on this subject.
I want you one more question.
Yeah.
Well, sir. Well, no, sir. We're gonna stop you right here. But I want you to get in touch with us. Do you have our email?
No, I don't. But I'll come back to the show.
If you get the email,
you can be sending emails on a continuous basis. More is done,
sir.
More people are touched.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I just want to ask one more question to the brother, but all right.
You're gonna get another chance, but take this email. It's NBPPHQ.
The chat room.
I believe the chat room may be down, but I'll put it in the chat room if it's up. NBPPHQ@yahoo.com. Email me, brother. I want to talk to you. We'll talk to you, and maybe can talk more offline. But I don't want to be fair to the other listeners and the other callers. Got to get their calling. But thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
Okay, I need that family, sir.
All right, doctor. Thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. I always look forward to it. Thank you.
For the UK, thank you. We have one more caller here, and like I said, we're not gonna hold you all night, doc. But we want to try to give them a chance at least here. Probably call it at 718-687. 718-687. You're on live with Black Power Radio and our brother, Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour. Give us your question, your comment, please. Black Power. Peace and blessings. You on with us, caller?
I'm here.
718-687.
I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Yes. This is my first time calling, and this is my first time learning about the new Black Panther Party. So please excuse my lack of knowledge. But I have a question. Okay. I'm wanting to know more, and I have a son who's 8 years old, and I want him to grow to be the man that, you know, community needs, the world needs. Now, I've just found out that his doctor diagnosed him with ADHD. I'm not really familiar with all of this stuff, but how can I? They're prescribing him like medication and things like that. I took him out of the school. He was in a public school. I took him out of that school, and he's now in a charter school. He's doing much better, but I want to take him off of the medication and get him to want to read more. What steps should I take? I'm also, him and I, we're turning into vegans as well. But besides food and I took the TV out the house. What else can I do to encourage him to love reading and to help him get off the medication?
Excellent question. Dr. Carlin, any advice from a sister?
Well, I think you have to be patient. Don't expect that overnight there will be a total change. So you put together a plan. Let's assume the first step of the plan is going to be a 4-week plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts when you wake him up in the morning. You're going to tell him that you want him to tell you when he comes home from school what went on in school. What did he learn? So he gets used to, while he's in school, learning as much as he possible, because he would like to impress you when he comes home that he is following your direction. And as you continue to encourage him of different subjects, try really hard for these subjects, because here are the doors that will be open to you if you continue to study the English, to study mathematics or arithmetic, study social science, and you keep encouraging him. And you tell him, make believe that you're the teacher today and you're lecturing to me. So give me a repetition of the lecture that you heard today from your teacher. So he feels he doesn't want to let you down. He wants to make you proud of him. So he starts developing a pride for knowledge. And you become an integral part of that pride. Then you can begin slowly to say that here, as a mother, is a responsibility to let you know what you're capable of doing, your mind. You're capable of destroying disease. You're capable, but here it means rest, it means exercise, it means reading. It takes all three to make you mature and grow and be an example for the world. And your mother can be proud of you because you have understood and followed the path to happiness and success.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in terms of the medication, is giving him a love, he's great in math. He aces all his math tests, but I just want to put a passion in him for reading. But in terms of weaning him off the medication, is there something that, what can I substitute for that?
Well, I would, you know, you have alternative medical doctors today. I would visit several doctors and tell them, you know, here's the situation. This is what my son, he's been taking this one remedy, and I'm not sure there's that much change in him. So are there alternatives? Are there toxic? And ask the different doctors, not the same doctor, the same question, but ask these different doctors and ask them, do they know of anything that would be helpful?
All righty. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Sister, we thank you so much and hope that you continue to be a listener of Black Power Radio and support this mission. Thank you, sister.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Doc, I have a final question here for you, sir. What does the rise in the presidency of Barack Obama mean for us, and what does it signal in America?
Well, there's a couple things. One, it's going to be a long time before you get a person of Barack Obama's intelligence to become president of the United States. When he came to be president, he pulled together a lot of different groups, some young people who were looking for a hero, some women who felt that they were not properly respected. And because they didn't see him as an American Negro, they saw him as someone whose father came from Africa and his mother was cosmopolitan, from Hawaii to the States. And when they start listening to Barack, they're saying, well, he can't be a Black American. He doesn't sound like a Black American. Mm-hmm. Barack could communicate. If you listen to his speech today after the number of children who were killed, he dominated, explained. He built the confidence of people, reassured them. He didn't do that because he reads comic books. He did it because he reads a variety of material, logic, reason, history, political science, anthropology. The man is a student. When he went to law school, the highest honor you can get in law school is to be appointed to the editorial board. I mean, people, they just dream of it night and day. That's their parents are telling him every time he comes home, you need to be, you know, just make the law review. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama was the editor of the law review. Not only made it, he was the man in charge. In order to do that, the faculty at Harvard had to say, this Black man, he's just superior to these other people, so how are we going to hold him back? Now, the question is, how long would it be before you get another Barack Obama? It's going to be sometime. Before there is another Black president of America, that's going to be some years away. the media is already trying to attack Barack Obama every chance they get, because they're trying to send a message out subtly. Enough is enough. We now have done it. We have shown the black can be president. Now leave it alone.
Right.
So if you tell me who you think is qualified, who black you think is as suave, as informed, as is capable of debating as Barack Obama. Do you think that Martin Luther King could have duplicated Barack Obama?
Hmm.
Go through the so-called leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Some names who were mentioned on this radio show, people called in. And you ask yourself, if they were in the White House with all of the things going on, how many of them could function? Or how many of them would give up and just play politics?
That's true. It's interesting.
It's going to be quite a while.
It's going to be a minute. Okay, so what does that signal for the rest of black people in America? Does that show our potential, or does that just mean he's just
no,
a
white
phenom?
White people say we did it, so don't keep asking us every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to give everyone a shot. You had your shot. And when your turn comes up again, you know, maybe they'll be able to work something out. But right now, as they said, tell us, black people, what black person would you like to see to be the president of the United States?
Who could we run?
First, you'd be fighting. We'd be fighting among ourselves first.
Yes, sir.
And are we going to appeal to the lower class, the middle class, whites, blacks, Hispanics? See, Barack can talk to the people who are from Mexico. He talks to people from Scandinavia. This is an unusual brother.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of his capability and his... I mean, who would you put? Would you feel objectively that Martin Luther King was more intelligent than Barack?
I've never thought about it. I'm about to give that some thought. But objectively, Barack's reach is way larger than MLK. I mean, just
that's right.
Just looking at it.
you never had a black that could draw the kind of crowds that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had, you know, given Malcolm an opportunity to refine a few things, he would never let him be president. But he would have gone very high.
Right.
Because he was so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't try to show off. But when you take the so-called appointed leaders now, who would you hold out as being the best mind in the African-American race?
You're asking me direct? Is it a direct question?
Sir.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be biased, of course. but in general, the mainstream leadership that we talked about earlier, I probably would say definitely not. Of course, I got to give high honors to our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, just on the strength that I understand his mind.
Right, but you're being polite. We're talking now about reality.
Reality. But I'm saying reality-wise, like, I give high honors to him and his mind. On that major mainstream level, though, I don't see anyone on that sphere.
Right, because you visualize a person going to speak to a group of economists, trained economists,
mm-hmm.
and then going to another group of housewives, then going to another group of PhDs. And they got another group of surgeons and another group of political protesters. Barack is at ease and at home with all of those groups.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to say, well, look, that's not my field. I'm going to send Hillary. I'll send someone else. No, no. He's gone. And when he gets finished, the people will be screaming and hollering.
Yeah. Yeah, ain't no doubt about that. Ain't no doubt about that. One more caller came in, Doc. You want to take that real fast?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, area code 661-748. And this is the last call we're going to take, area code 661. We love you, caller. 748, you're on live Black Power Radio. Dr. Khaled Al-Mansour, give us your question, your comment, please, Black Power.
Yeah, Black Power 24/7, man. This is with Knocko Rap.
All right, welcome,
and,
brother. Hey.
Thank you, sir, thank you. Yeah, I'm out here
yes,
in Vancouver, man. I'm out here in Vancouver, man. I live in Vancouver. I'm actually from the States, but I play football in Vancouver, and I'm trying to share that same knowledge with these brothers up here that's from the States on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up listening to guys like, you know, I would love to see somebody, you know, in the White House or the Capitol, like an Ice Cube or even a Master P or Jay-Z, somebody that really understands my generation, you know, being 34, 35. And I think that's what we need to really keep this moving, because you can't replace, like you couldn't replace Mike Jordan. It's going to be hard to replace Obama.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, the number of white people that don't like him, he has divided them. So the white women said, oh, you're just jealous. I'm going to vote for him.
Well, see, what really bothers me now, you know, I have children myself. You know, I'm devastated about the children, any children that lose their life. But, excuse me, hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We're still here, brother.
Okay, yes, sir. You know, I just happened to be passing by on Twitter, and somebody from the city, like the day after, said something about karma. And the kid is from that city. I mean, he wrote a big blog about it. And my thing is, you know, we wasn't going to say nothing about that. But basically, you revealing yourself now, because I think there's more to what's happened. Because the Jewish people are crooked anyway. I have the book, The Secret Relationship Between Jews and Blacks, Volume 1 and 2, and Fall of America. And I have another book about Jews and guys. And, you know, there's something behind what happened, I think. I firmly believe that from my understanding of Jews, race, and what's going on in the world today.
You talking about with the Sandy Hook tragedy? You talking about karma on that situation in Connecticut?
Well, that's what someone had typed up on Twitter. Now, I wouldn't say nothing like that. I'm not that naked person. But for someone from that city or town to mention that first before they talked about anything else, kind of bring up a light bulb over your head. Like, why would somebody say that? You know, because the Jewish community around the USA is in a place knowing they shouldn't be, you know.
But if you ask a simple question to the American population, who would you prefer in the White House, a Jew or a black American? So regardless of the amount of propaganda for or against the Jews, if a vote was given to all Americans, vote your conscience, who would win?
The real children of Israel should win.
Sorry?
The real children of Israel should win.
No, but who would win?
Yeah, who would win, though?
Who would win?
Yeah.
Look who's in the White House.
Yeah, but he's in the White House, but he's not running against the Hebrew. You know, we're comparing now a black against a Hebrew, who would win?
Huh.
Well, ran against Romney. Romney's Anglo-Saxon WASP.
Straight up.
Yeah, Romney tried to buy the vote.
Right, well, but who would win? That's not who's trying to do what. Who would win?
Brother, don't want to say
an American election.
You can say
if all the blacks would stick together and vote, you would not be more than 5% of the total vote.
I don't know. I disagree with that. I think the way the world and things would change today, I would think it would change, man. I really do.
It's good to keep hope alive, but it is also an obligation to be in scientific, to base it on facts, to base it on the past.
Well,
otherwise, you can just say one day I'm going to get to heaven because I can conceive of it. What is the criterion?
Now, heaven is the state of mind you're in, heaven and hell. My mind state is in heaven.
Right, but people vary. Some people have heaven as being hell. Some have heaven as being hell. It varies. But the question is just ask the person, what does heaven mean to you? Then that stops all the confusion. Because two people can have two different versions of heaven. They can argue and argue and argue, not realizing they can never resolve the argument because they're using heaven in two different ways.
Well, this is what they have to do now with all this digital world. You have to go back to square one and give a presentation like you're in kindergarten with picture slides and the words at the bottom to interpret it to a lot of people who don't understand regular conversation.
But most of the regular conversation is going to be learned how? From the television and the radio.
That's true.
Some of the entertainers, they can't hardly put a sentence together. They can memorize the songs, and people are screaming and hollering and laughing.
That's true.
At the same time, though, that's not their fault, though. At the end
of the day, I'm not talking about fault. I'm talking about the reality. This is it. Now, if the Koreans can come here only knowing Korean when they get here, and if the Japanese only know Japanese when they get here, and the Chinese only know Chinese when they get here, and the Igbo tribes in Africa only know Igbo when they get here, and the Ashanti tribes only know Ashanti tribe, but after being here 1 or 2 years, they're speaking English fluently.
I put myself as a white Jew now. Back in the 1800s, if I see a big black 6'5", Shaquille O'Neal looking dude, I'm going to try to destroy him. But if I see a little Asian dude, I'm going to have him on my side, but I'm going to still run him. Now, if you look on how we got kidnapped and brought over here to America, I can't believe I'm talking like this really as good as I talk. But, you know, that's where it all relates.
If you look at similar situations, this is not the only group that's ever had that. You look at the Roman Empire. Look at the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire was controlled in Athens, but they were ruling virtually the known world. The French, the British, it's not just America. What were the results today?
That's the main question. My brother, we're running on time, caller. But thank you so much for your call, and stay tuned. Thank you, brother, for calling from Vancouver. And get in touch with us. We need to set up in Vancouver.
Definitely.
We need to set up in Vancouver.
I'll be your point, man. No problem.
Well, we're gonna get in touch with you. Like I say, take that email, nbpphq@yahoo.com. I'm going to get in touch with you personally, black man.
Great.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. NBPP, like it's new Black Panther Party initials, NBPPHQ, like headquarters, @yahoo.com. And
yes,
I got you. What's your name, brother?
Renaco West.
Brother Renaco, I'll be in touch with you, brother. We'll set up in Vancouver, and you can spread that spirit and spread some of that energy and that knowledge, like what Dr. Carl is talking about. Right around Vancouver. We need it bad, brother.
Man, I'm ready to spit that knowledge every day, Monday through Sunday.
We got you.
I don't celebrate holidays, so we can do that every day.
We with you and appreciate your spirit, bro. Thank you for talking to our brother, bro. We'll be in touch with you, black man.
Thank you. Black
All right,
power.
Black power to you, sir. Dr. Carter, we're pushing up on time here, sir, and so I'll yield the floor to you for any closing comments.
I'm just saying I'm learning, so anytime I'm learning, I'm happy. So thank you for bringing happiness and expanding my happiness on this earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you so much for being with us. And I know you keep saying we don't have to thank you for doing your duty, and I know how that feels. But we believe, of course, in giving flowers to our people while they're here and they can hear us right now. And so we just give you a salute for the wisdom that you shared, and all praise is due to Allah for what you dropped and what you blessed and how you've helped us tonight to push forward and to hopefully go forward in the future with some strength. Thank you sincerely.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Yes, sir. Is there any website you'd like to give out, or any information you'd like
to
give?
No, we just keep talking together, and you let me know, because I travel a lot, so you can let me know whenever it's a slot that needs a little addition. I'm available.
Certainly. We got you. And that's you can bet your bottom dollar that's going to happen. Brothers and sisters, we want to say thank you to Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour. Baba, we appreciate you. We're going to disconnect now because we'll lose the feed. The show actually goes off at 10 Eastern. We got a little pre-after show. We're blessed and thankful to get all of this in there, but we don't want to lose the transmission and lose you on there. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's keep in touch.
Doctor, and appreciate it. Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum to you, my brother.
As-salam.
Black power. Brothers and sisters, that is Dr. Khalid Al-Mansour, and I'm telling you, we have been blessed tonight, like sitting at the foot of our elder, just sitting and hearing at the foot of our elder, an international traveler, businessman, attorney, activist. You can hear it all in him, and he's blessing us, and he's open to us. And what I'd say again to all who are listening, this is brought to you by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and we are expanding all throughout the states, the United States of America. We want to, as we told our brothers, set up there in Vancouver and set up in the UK even stronger. We have international chapters, and this is the vision and the expansion of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, whose legacy will continue, and the National Chairman of our New Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is his student, and pushing on in the cause. And you can email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com to help this movement, nbpphq@yahoo.com to help the programs and to join on and to educate our people, to help with our food programs, youth programs, education and mentorship programs, and to help spread Black Power. If you believe that, and you believe that we can push Black Power and do like Dr. Khalid was talking about, which is reach the youth and reach the thugs and reach our people and the educated and build something for ourselves. So join us again, be it the will of God, this Wednesday for another power-packed edition. I believe we'll be talking to some brothers and sisters who are working in the stop and frisk movements, working to abolish that and eradicate, really, that stop and frisk that's happening there in New York City, right there where they're stopping Black men and stopping brown men and women simply for being black and brown. And it's filling up the jails, and it's filling up the penitentiaries, and it's filling up the felonies, and our people are not able to get jobs and to move forward and provide for themselves just because they were caught by stop and frisk. We're going to talk this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Black Power Radio, and it's Black Power for Black People. Remember, it's all power to the people. And remember this last point: if Black people are not free, there's nobody free. And we say Black Power to you. Thank you and good night.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost, was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what our revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people. But when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood.